So I'm with Marcel Babin from the University of Laval in Canada. And you just talked at the Canada Press Breakfast about your work on diversity in the Arctic Ocean and the use of light to detect what organisms are present. Could you tell me a bit more about your work?
Okay. So we're interested in the impact of the decrease in the ice pack in the Arctic on biological activity in the seawater, and especially on that depends directly on light. So, in fact, we're interested in photosynthesis and photosynthesis by phytoplankton, because this is phytoplankton represents the largest fraction of total algal biomass in the system. You find also algae related to sea ice. You find also macroalgae on the shore. But really what accounts for the largest fraction of algal biomass in the system is really phytoplankton, those microorganisms that just float in the water column. So we want to know what will be the impact of the decrease in the ice pack during summer on those organisms. We believe there will be an impact because the disappearance of sea ice in summer will allow more sunlight to penetrate the ocean. Okay, and so there are two things we want to do. First, we just want to monitor the change. Okay, and for that we use remote sensing, but also a number of in situ sensors that allows us to optically detect phytoplankton. You can detect phytoplankton from space just by monitoring, by measuring really the changes in color. It's not really color, it's the backscattered sunlight at several wavelengths in the visible range, but it's color in fact.
So in a sense you're kind of looking at images, satellite images, and analyzing
each pixel of the image. What we get is a spectrum of the light back scattered by the ocean. This is what we measure. And then we relate that spectrum to what seawater contains. And how we make that links, we determine in the lab or in the ship the optical properties of everything that's contained in seawater. And using those optical properties, you can anticipate what the color will be if you have that and that concentration of those different components. So when we interpret the ocean color signal, we do the way around we go from the spectrum and to the concentration of those things. This is how we interpret. And what this provides us is simply the biomass. And this is not what we are interested in. We are interested in the rate of production of biomass.
So when you say biomass, you mean the number of organisms and
organic carbon per cubic meter.
Okay. Is it depend on the different species, or is it just purely the total amount?
It's the total amount, and it depends on the production of it, and it depends also on its disappearance, because it's eaten by other organisms or it sinks. So that's why when you look at the biomass, you don't know the production. You just see the biomass. And to go from a biomass to a production, which is a rate of carbon fixation per unit time, per unit volume, you need a model. You need what we call a diagnostic model. Why diagnostic? I tell you how much biomass, how much light. You tell me how much. What's the rate of carbon fixation? And to do that, what we need is the relationship between this rate and the amount of light. So we need that simple model, and we need to determine the values of the parameters of that model, and we need to know how those parameters vary in the natural environment as a function of the abundance of nutrients, of the light history of organisms, of temperature. So this is the kind of simple diagnostic modeling we do to use ocean color data, or also we can measure the biomass in situ as well with optical sensors. The problem with remote sensing is that we mostly see the surface. So we need other data to get a full view of the system.
So your remote sensing, you can detect the biomass, so how many organisms there are per cubic meter. But what you're actually interested in is the rate of production of organisms.
Yeah. Let me give you an example. Yeah. You have field grass and cows.
Yeah.
And if the cows eat the grass as it grows, the biomass doesn't change. And you don't know the growth of grass because you don't know the rate at which the cows eat it. So that's the relationship between instantaneous biomass and the rate of growth. And what we want to know is the rate of growth. How much organic carbon is produced, and that then goes through the trophic change or that sinks and reach the bottom sediments. Part of it may be sequestered. So this is why we need the rate.
And from a snapshot, essentially, from the amount of biomass and from the lack conditions, you can then use your model to determine the rate of growth.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can monitor it. We have time series of remote sensing data, and you can monitor it and detect possible trends and detect the effect of changes in the environment, light, but not only the amount of fresh waters that come into the Arctic Ocean, the water mixing driven by winds. So this is what we do with those time series as well. We try to determine the responses of the system to changes.
So it produce predictive models as well as diagnostic.
Predictive modeling is another. Is completely different. When you want to predict, you don't know the biomass. You have to predict the biomass too. It's a real model with differential equations, and in which you need to parameterize the growth of phytoplankton in the lab as a function of light, temperature, nutrients. You have to document the steady state conditions as well as the non-steady state conditions. So you need really to, okay, if here are the initial conditions, what will be the production in 10 days? This is what you need, you must be able to do, okay? This is what we do in the lab. We do it on species that we isolate from Arctic, we bring in the lab. We select species because we think that they are the most important in the community under certain conditions. You need a set of species that represents most, more or less, all the possible important conditions, you know, spring, summer, okay, regimes, different regimes that are important in the system. Then you develop those growth model, and then you are able to predict phytoplankton growth as a function of conditions. Then you couple this model to a model that predicts the environment, a physical model that will tell you how much light, how much nutrients, and what's the temperature. So it's an ocean model. In the Arctic, you need to couple your ocean model to an ice model as well. And this is all forced by the atmosphere, of course. And if you want to make predictions in 100 years, you use scenarios of climate change, you know, for instance, for a doubling of the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. You predict the climate, and this forces your physical model. And then you can predict the conditions under which algae grow in the environment, and with your biological model that you develop in the lab, you can tell what the production will be and possibly what species will dominate.
So because you've got these predictive models for species that thrive in certain conditions, that then if your physical models are predicting those conditions, then they're going to obviously push those species to the fore.
Exactly. All those species have different optima in terms of for growth, in terms of environment conditions. Some grow at lower temperature, other at larger temperature. Some are adapted to low light, other to high light. And changes in the environment is what drives the succession of species in the environment. That's how it happens in the ocean. There's always a succession during the year, from season to season, from month to month. As the system change, different species, take the lead. And normally your model, if they are good enough and they, if they are specific enough to each species, they should produce that succession.
And why is it important to know the rate of production of biomass? Is it important in of itself, or is it an indicator of something else?
Well, it's important for, I would say, two main reasons. First, because it will affect the carbon cycle in the ocean. Okay, why are we interested in the carbon cycle? You may know, because there's an increasing amount in the atmosphere. Why? Because we are burning carbon that comes from the ground, that is originally biological carbon. And we want to know if the system, the global system, will bring back carbon somehow, bring back organic carbon sequestered in the sediments. So we want to know, to document that whole cycle, which is quite complex and includes a biological component, but there is also a non-biological component which is important. So, and in Arctic, changes are occurring faster than anywhere, and we want to know what the impact will be on the global carbon cycle. That's one reason. The other reason is that phytoplankton is at the basis of the trophic food chain, and any major change in the phytoplankton community and its dynamics from season to season and will affect all ecosystem, all living organisms. And that may drive a major shift in the communities, in the way the ecosystem works. So this is why we are interested in it.